36, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. Now these words here in chapter 12 of John's Gospel were spoken during the last week of our Lord's life, and immediately before his final departure from the temple, referred to there in verse 36. The events of the last week were many and various. On the first day of the week, Christ rode into Jerusalem on the ass's colt, retiring towards the end of the day to Bethany. On the Monday, he returns again to Jerusalem, to the temple, cursing the fig tree on the way. And after that, he casts out from the temple the money changers and the traders before going back again to Bethany. Tuesday morning sees him making his way again to Jerusalem and again to the temple, where he is questioned by the authorities, the chief priests and the scribes. And answering them, he teaches the people. The whole of Wednesday he spends in retirement. On the Thursday, Christ reappears in Jerusalem for the purpose of observing the Passover feast. And it's on this day we think that there is inquiry made concerning him of certain Greeks that had come up to the feast. Christ, learning of their seeking of him, speaks of his own death and the fruit that will appear after his death in the souls of men, such as was seen in these Greeks. And this is followed by his last words. That is, the last words, which were public and spoken on a formal occasion in the temple. And those last words are verses 35 and 36, the words which form our text. "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." There are three things which we shall use as our headings tonight. The first is the Saviour. Jesus said, "Yet a little while is the light with you." And the question immediately rises, what is this light? Well, the Gospel of John will give us an answer from the very first chapter, in fact, where Christ is identified as that true light which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. But that is in the introduction to the Gospel. When we turn to the ministry of Christ himself, in chapter 8 and verse 12, we hear Christ say, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And then again in chapter 9 and verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So the gospel writer leaves us in no doubt as to the identity of this light. In the prophecies of the Old Testament, he was predicted as the light. The light of his people and the glory of the Gentiles. The light of the world. And so at his coming, the light arose in the darkness. So it is Christ, the light, which is with us, because the Son of God has come into the world and tabernacled with us, and his name now is Emmanuel, God with us. There are two ways in which the words surrounding light can be understood. In the first place, when this actually happened, the light was Christ in the flesh. He was there. He says it's only for a little while. And of course, he himself is going to suffer upon the cross and die, and ultimately he will rise and ascend to heaven. And in that sense of Christ in the flesh, he will have departed. But there is a second sense in which it may be understood as it relates to us today. In what sense is the light with us, or Christ with us? Well, not in the flesh, that's for sure, but in the gospel. And when the gospel is preached, Christ is presented in his glory. And we do not know, any of us, how long we shall have that privilege, or how long Christ will be set before us in that manner. It is not forever. So the light then is Christ in the flesh, as here in the gospel, as with us tonight. The light is with you. Where does the light come from? Comes from heaven. The psalmist in Psalm 19 says that is where the tabernacle of the light is, in heaven itself. And the Son of God came from that glorious abode. And that is why he is called in the New Testament the Lord from heaven. And he was before he came. He came after he was. And he entered this world as from above, he says, sent by the Father, and come into this world to bring his influences, his benign and soul-saving influences to men and women on the earth. Now, when he appeared in what we call the incarnation, when he took flesh and he stood amongst us, It was light indeed, because, as Paul would later write, God was manifest in the flesh. Men didn't see beyond the veil of the flesh at all times, but there behind the flesh was deity. And there were occasions when that divine glory broke through, as on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Christ was transfigured before them, and his face became like the sun, and his garments were in glistening white. And he was glorified there up on the mountain to the wonder of the disciples. It was God manifested. It was light breaking forth. It was the dazzling light of God meeting the eyes of men. And although the light shone in human flesh, the light wasn't defiled, the light wasn't corrupted, he remained the Holy One, the Holy One of God, separate from sinners, undefiled, pure and holy. And that light which appeared in the darkness, Christ among us of a very truth, is not only a symbol that God has come into this world in the person of his Son, but light is a biblical symbol, not only for God, but for salvation itself. Hence we sang in the psalm earlier, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. He has appeared to me, and the influence of the light has been saving." And so it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. His coming not only meant that God was among men, but that his influence was saving. And salvation was brought to us. "Thy King cometh unto thee, having salvation." Never has light shined so gloriously than in the person of Jesus Christ. We read that it was a glory that was wonderful to behold. The glory of God, we read, in the face of Jesus Christ. There had been revelations of God in the Old Testament period, but never after this manner. Never after this kind. Those earlier revelations were more like shadows compared to the outshining of the sun in full meridian strength. What a glorious thing that the day spring from on high hath visited us and redeemed us. How precious to look upon this one from glory and to behold his glory. What says Solomon? "Truly the light is sweet," meaning that it is pleasant and beautiful to behold. And he speaks there of the material light, the natural light of the world, that it has a beauty to it. And men love to look in the direction of that light and to behold something of its splendor. But in Christ Jesus, the light of God shines. And we look upon him and we behold in him the fullest glory of all. He is altogether lovely. He is the fairest of 10,000. And his saving influence is not limited, but is illimitable in its scope. Why, he's the Saviour of the world. He has given a light to the world. And his coming and doing and dying is good news to all men, and good tidings of great joy to them. There is a Saviour for sinners. That's what the voice says. And there is a Saviour, if men will turn to him and receive him, for all sinners. He is the official Saviour of all men. And all to feel and know those blessed effects which come with him, the quickening of the light, the guiding of the light, the purifying of the light. And isn't it true that there can be a time of great fog and mist so that everything is obscured, as in a covering, and then the sun breaks through and the light shines, and within moments the fog lifts and the mist is removed. See that fog and mist as symbolic of our sin and our guilt. And what can be done to save sinners? Only Christ can save them. He can save his people from their sins. And if he rises upon them with healing in his winds, the fog will indeed disperse and the mist will be lifted. He can save us from our sins. He can remove the guilt of our sins. He can take away the covering of our sins, the darkness of those sins. Ye have light. The light is with you. Before I move on, let me say what a mercy it is that the light is ever with us. It was a mercy to these Jews that he was literally, physically, in the flesh with them, showing them the love of God, teaching them the way to everlasting life, blessing them in ways that they have never been blessed before. Yet a little while is the light with you. And it's a privilege for us to have the gospel tonight proclaimed to us, and in the gospel, Christ Jesus, in all his glory, in all his loveliness, the Redeemer of men, the Deliverer of men, he's there. The light of this church, the light now before our eyes. What a privilege to be where Christ is freely set forth in the preaching of the gospel. Yet it was for them yet a little while. And it may be for us yet a little while. For God can remove us from the means, or he can remove the means from us. Either way, it may be only a little while. Well, enough here at the moment for the Saviour. Let us turn to the second point, which is the opportunity. Christ says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light. There is, I believe, to men and women in general, opportunities afforded when the light is with us. For these Jews, it was the grandest opportunity to see Christ in the flesh there in the temple, to hear him as the oracle of God, to learn the love of God from him. It was a wonderful opportunity, Christ says, but it will not last. So avail yourself of this opportunity while you may. And with us, you can say, well, it's a wonderful thing in these dark and desperate days to be in a church like this, and there are many such in the land, where Christ is ministered to us in the way of the gospel. His saviourhood is presented to us. His kingship is described to us. The gift of him is held out to us in the preaching of the gospel. It's a wonderful thing to be in a place where Christ is ministered. But mind you, as with these men, it is yet for a little while. It may be that in the future Christ will not be so proclaimed and declared, and you may not be here to see it. Yet a little while is the light with you. Nevertheless, make no mistake, it is an opportunity. An opportunity for what? An opportunity properly to respond to the Son of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a time when he may be found. It is a time when you may find mercy and abundant pardon. And therefore, as the moments fly past, they are moments that make up a season in which you can make your response to Jesus Christ for the saving of your soul. Walk while ye have the light. While ye have light, believe in the light. These are the words of response. Be so very careful, therefore, that your opportunity is not lost. For it is woefully, tragically possible to have this opportunity of grace and to let it slip through your fingers so that you don't react to Christ in any positive way. You don't respond in the way of the gospel. The word spoken unto you is let slip. And at the end of the day, Christ is not your Savior, though you were so near him, though he was only an act of faith away from you, though you could have reached out by desire and in trust and made him your own, the opportunity was thrown away, and you remain Christless. Time is passing. Time is passing so quickly. How long has he favored you? With Christ in the gospel, how many months, maybe years, have you been impressed with the Savior of men as you've listened to sermons? But time is passing, and the opportunity may be departing. Yet a little while. Yet a little while. God, therefore, in his word bids you take heed. He says things like this: if ye hear my voice, harden not your hearts. One thing is needful. Seek the Lord and live. Great is that responsibility which rests upon you, young person, older person, because God has introduced a time of opportunity. Much is now given to you, and much will be required of you. It's no ordinary opportunity, such as we might have to buy a house or even a car, but it is momentous. It is beyond calculation as to its importance, because upon this opportunity hangs the well-being of your never-dying soul. Upon the seizing of this opportunity hangs your destiny forever and forever. It is unmitigated loss. If at the end of the opportunity it has to be said of you, as it was said of some, the harvest is over, the summer is past, and ye are not yet saved. Oh, great matter to answer for on the day of judgment, when God says, I gave you opportunity, I gave you space to repent of your sin and to trust in my Son. I gave you opportunity, and you threw it away. We think of Felix when he heard the Apostle Paul, go thy way for this time. He lost it. And as far as we read secular history, he never had another opportunity. Agrippa says to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But he wasn't persuaded, and he lost the opportunity, and history says he never was given another. Friends, it would be most awful indeed if I thought to myself tonight that in presenting Christ to you and urging you to turn to him and receive him as your Savior, and to put all your trust and confidence in him for the salvation of your soul, you let that opportunity pass you to your everlasting regret, so that on the day of judgment, when it is required of you, but you had the opportunity, why did you not take it? You will be speechless before the God who is the judge of all of the earth. The reason for the loss was unbelief. A failure to obey the call of Jesus Christ. And I not only lost my opportunity, I lost my soul. I lost my heaven. And I lost my everlasting happiness. Well then, my friends, with Christ before you, as he was before these people, so he's before you in the preaching. What must you do with him? It's described here in two ways. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light. And that is repeated in different wording in the next verse. While ye have the light, believe in the light. Walk, believe, are two things which mean the same thing. What does it mean then? Walk. It means that with Christ before you, don't be indifferent to him. Listen carefully to his invitation and his overture to such as you are. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Know that you need to make your way to him. You need to do that because you are in a precarious position. You are adjudged a sinner. The law of God threatens you with death, and judgment hastens towards you. You therefore need a place of safety, or someone to afford you safety. That's the one who's preached. Jesus Christ. Therefore, seek him with all your hearts. There is no other who can do sinners good. In all your need, with all your shame, with every fear in your heart, come. Come just as you are. And come to Jesus Christ and take him as your only Savior and entrust your lost soul to him to be saved for all eternity. While the Savior is in view, walk, walk. And walk while ye have the light. My friends, it's time to up and be doing. Not to sit in the pew and wait for lightning to strike you. Not to say, well, if God is going to save me, he's going to save me, and I can do nothing about it. Walk! That is the Lord's command. Do you see him in the gospel as your Savior, as the Savior of sinners, even the worst of sinners? Do you see him? That is why he came into the world. That is why he died upon the cross, to bear the punishment of sinners, that they might be saved. And that is why he is before you tonight, calling you, come unto me. And ye shall find rest for your souls. I beseech you in the name of the Son of God, walk while ye have the light. Or as Christ puts it in the next verse, while ye have light, believe in the light. credit the gospel that is being preached to you. Account that Christ has an ability to save all who walk towards him. And he has the willingness to save all who walk towards him. Then believe in him. Turn to him and put your trust in him wholly. And only turn away confidence from every other, from yourself, from your minister, from your church, from your religion, from your good living. Turn away from that. Believe in the light. Put your confidence in Christ. In Christ, I say, not in the general mercy of God. Not in the kindness of God, but in Christ. Believe in the light. And with an assurance born of his sovereign promise, turn to him. Rely upon him. Tell him your sinning soul needs nothing less than saving. Tell him you trust no other with that office. And when with one act of committal, place your soul, your life, your all into the hands of Jesus Christ and say to him, Lord, I'm lost unless you save me. I perish unless you deliver. Tonight, I believe in the light. If you do not, it may well be that darkness will come upon you. Indeed, it shall be. Darkness is the opposite to light. Darkness is the opposite of salvation. It is destruction, perdition. If you don't make your way to Christ, and if you don't place all your reliance for salvation in him, then you will perish. Darkness shall come upon you, and he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. But it is the way to death. It is the way to loss. It is the way to pain. It is the way to destruction. And you have chosen to take that way. Behind you was a Christ able to save. You could have walked to him. You could have believed on him. You could have been saved by him. But you walked away from him. And you believed in your own salvation to your eternal loss. The Savior, the opportunity, and finally tonight, the transformation. The Lord says in verse 36, while ye have light, while I am able and willing to save you, and my call extends to you, and I am ready to receive you, and walk toward me, believe upon me, and here is the transformation, and that ye may be the children of light. Do you know what that means? You will be changed. You will become like the Saviour himself, the light of the world. You will become Christians, the children of light. Your life will be amazingly altered. Instead of dwelling in the darkness of unbelief and sin, and apart from God, I say in that darkness, instead of that, you will be transformed into the state of the children of light. That means you will be saved. Where darkness might have prevailed, light will gain victory in your life. You will be saved and you will be changed. Your heart, your life, everything about you that formerly was lived in darkness will be altered. You will be enlightened. Christ will make a Christian of you indeed. You will become a child of God. You will become an heir of heaven. The children of light. For this reason, Christ not only saves from the guilt and judgment of sin, he saves from the power and the rage of sin. And those whom he forgives, he does transform. If any man be in Christ, that is a Christian, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. However you've lived, whatever you've done, however deep your shame, how near you are to despair, it matters not. Christ can change the worst of lives. He can bless the worst of sinners. He's before you, for sure. He's within reach. Believe in him and be changed by the grace of God. Amen. We sing.